Story Chat with John Fornoff, the art and passion of storytelling. Here's your host, Brian Bullebush.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Story Chat, our little corner of the internet where we discuss the art and passion of storytelling with your host, John Fornoff. Let's give him a round of applause, everyone.
Thank you. I feel warmly applauded.
I'll add an insert of just applause right there.
Okay.
So we have a sense of royalty to this episode, a sense of nobility based on the notes you've given me of the noble art of storytelling.
The noble art of storytelling, right.
Which is interesting. What do you mean by it?
We hope it's interesting. We hope it is. Yeah. We don't want to bore anybody out there. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we writing? What are we up to? You know, is it just a creative expression of our inner artist? Or is it something that will empower other people as they take part in our story? What's story all about? And it can be a combination of those things, by the way. But in the bigger picture, if we're just doing this for ourselves, that's it. That's kind of a small world, in my opinion. I mean, you might want to just do it for yourself. That's fine. Like some people wrote journals or they wrote poetry or whatever. And then somebody else picked it up when they died and they published it and made a lot of money. So it was just for that person, but it helped others. And I think that's, we're talking about what's the noble purpose of storytelling, the nobility of it. And it's interesting if it's just, in my humble opinion, if it's just to express yourself, that's fine. But I think we're called to something more. I think we're called to get our art out there where it can help others. And I think that's the true nobility of writing. So there's something about, I remember Barbara Nicolosi talking about this. Barbara Nicolosi started Act One, which is a fantastic writing and producing program here in Hollywood. And she said, be the person in the room, like where they're deciding what to do with a movie, or in the writer's room when they're working on a TV show. Be the one in the room that says, yeah, but what good is this doing in the world? What good is this doing for people? What a fantastic question to ask, because as we're telling these entertaining stories, which is fine, we got to entertain them, right? If you're not entertaining, you don't have anybody coming to your story, your movie, whatever. But as you're entertaining them, make sure that, and without pounding them over the head, make sure that they're getting something of substance out of it. I think the best comedies do that. The best of comedies do that, where it's funny, you're laughing, it's great, but then they have this like, Pixar is a great example. Some of them just hilarious. They're very funny, that kind of stuff. But all of a sudden they like, So I think it's, and here's the thing. Here's the thing that I love about movies, and this applies to storytelling, audio dramas, that kind of stuff, is I believe the best storytelling beckons you to a larger world. What do I mean by that? I think sometimes we get stuck on our own little world of ourselves. You know, this is my world. You know, there's Walmart, there's McDonald's, there's my home, there's where I work, and that's my world. And these are my three friends, four friends, whatever. It's like we live in these little worlds, and that's okay. That's fine. And even more so, we kind of think about ourselves all the time. But I think the best of storytelling enables us and ennobles us to look outside our own selves and see how we can help, inspire, encourage, empower others. And that's how I think about it physically. When you go to a movie, you're looking at a huge screen with like huge big faces and big noses and big ears, right? All this kind of stuff. You
know, that's a 30-foot ear right there.
Yes, exactly. That's the purpose of makeup, right? But it's like it's beckoning you to a larger world, to live larger. At its best, storytelling enables you to live larger, and not like look at me larger, but live in a way. I think larger is not making yourself better, bigger. I think larger is empowering others to live better. I think it's what great friends do. They beckon you to a larger world. I think it's what good stories do. They beckon you to a larger world than just yourself. Because usually the tendency is we always think about ourselves all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like our self-preservation, self-whatever. Everything's kind of self-preservation. But what great story does is it kind of wakes you up to what can I do to help my neighbor or help somebody else out there or just that kind of stuff. So there's so
it's less of a, what is the purpose of storytelling in general? It's what's the purpose of your story?
Yeah. And not every story does that. Story. And no, some stories are, well, still even the cautionary tales, you know, the ones that's like, don't do this.
I was thinking along the lines of something like, I know it's the favorite show that we talk, the favorite kids show on here, Phineas and Ferb.
Yes.
I mean, yes. It's meant to be entertaining for adults and kids.
Right. Exactly.
And that's basically it.
Hits you on two levels. Pixar is the best at that, I think. Even the old Warner Brothers cartoons, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, all that kind of stuff. There's humor on this level for adults were getting it and kids were getting on another level. Pixar, I think, is the best at that, where they not only the humor reaches adults and the kids on a different level, but the storyline too, it's hitting you on two different levels. Yeah.
Absolutely. You get the beautiful visuals and the chase scenes for the kids, but then the adults are going, ooh, that's rich drama.
Right. Oh there. Yeah. Yeah. Finding Nemo is a great example. You know, we always like to protect our kids and make sure they're safe and all
like
that.
If
kind
you
of stuff.
Actually look at Finding Nemo, the story itself,
yeah,
it's a, like, imagine that, but for like, imagine if Finding Nemo was a human story, like told by humans.
Uh-huh.
That has some pretty dark implications.
Oh, yes.
Like really dark implications.
Right off the bat, it's dark. Yeah.
No wonder they decided to go with fish.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's something about that. Oh, man. Andrew Stanton, I think, was the guy behind that. And he was talking about how overprotective he was. It was, I think, his 4-year-old son. I think I might be messing the story up a little bit, but he's talking about, no, don't go there. Be careful. Don't do that. And he was like, he realized he was like the dad in Finding Nemo. And it's like, and
don't touch the butt. Don't do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So for me, it's, I've actually started to write, well, for a little bit of background, because that's, I finished The Silmarillion recently. The Tolkien. Oh, by the way, if you guys want to know how to do an outline correctly, or just the biggest outline you've ever seen, read The Silmarillion. Holy cow. The thing is an outline. It's an outline written in prose. I don't know how else to describe it, because he talks about stuff. He's got a little dialogue here and there, but it is largely what you would consider a treatment. But anyway, I just finished that. And so it kind of inspired me. Oh, I kind of want to write my own mythology, my own outline, because it allows me to write in prose, feel like I'm getting something done, and outline at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing this kind of just because I want to. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, nothing at all. Yeah. And writing it out because I just want to write this, and I don't know if I can ennoble the world, or so I want to speak to you as you're writing, you, Brian, and representing all the audience here is, you may not start off with, you know, I'm going to encourage the world. It's like, well, I understand it. That feels, that's too big. Got it. Just tell an entertaining story and tell the truth. Tell the truth. That's very important. Tell the truth. Make sure it's true.
Here's an interesting one. Is this why, in your opinion, Christians go more towards allegory than anything else? Do you see what I'm asking by that?
Yeah, because a lot of times with a lot of faith-based films, and they're getting better, thank God, literally, a lot of times there's so much about the message that they miss the movie. They miss the heart and substance of what makes great story. That what makes great story is not the message that you pound home, all right? Ralph Winter says it best. He says, movies are not so good about giving answers, but they're great about raising questions.
Hmm.
And I think that's a great way to put it, because it's movies aren't sermons. Well, some people try to make them sermons, and oh boy, we feel it. It's just like sermons belong behind a pulpit. If you were going to make a movie, you want to make something that it's got to entertain people. That's just one of the things you do when you make a movie. And the message will come through. C.S. Lewis said, I'm going to paraphrase it and probably murder it. But anyway, he said something, don't worry about putting in the truth, inserting the truth, just inserting a message or whatever. Just tell the truth, tell the truth. And that message, it'll come through. The truth, the message will come through as you're telling a good story. Don't worry about it. I've got to insert my message here, my PSA for God or for whatever your cause is. So as you're writing, write a great story, something that you might write just for yourself. That's fine. But as you're writing as you're getting ready to get it out there to the larger audience, be thinking sometimes it's after you write it, you're just like, oh, when I look back, I see, you know what? This could actually help people in this area or whatever. You can go back and do that. Oh, by the way, we talked about this too, about writing in the dark. And I'll hit on this lightly, is whatever tough stuff you go through, whatever pain you go through, what you learn out of that can empower and ennoble and inspire people as well. So you got something to say. If you've gone through pain, you got something to say. And if you come through healing on the other side of it, you got something to say to people that can help them through their pain. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
That's good. I caveman, that's good. I mean,
it sounded like Groot for a little bit there. It's kind of fun. That's good.
Yeah, because I feel like we covered this in a similar vein with the writing what's good and beautiful and don't waste your time on bad art, because we talked about that one movie that was just a waste of time.
Yes, it will suck your time away. Great art adds to you. Bad art sucks away your time and your energy, right? It steals from you. Bad art steals from you. Great art adds to you. Multiplies. Yeah.
Man, you've covered it so nicely.
Okay, we're done.
I don't want to end it right there, because
okay,
that's really short. Because
it's okay. Well, let's see here. Okay, I'll ask you a question. I'm gonna turn it around.
Oh,
here.
Okay.
Okay. Now you'll see what it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh boy.
How many acts were in Shawshank Redemption?
I've seen Shawshank.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll go back.
Oh, that wasn't serious. Okay.
No, I wasn't serious. No, you know what it feels like? It's like, oh my goodness, I hope I can answer this. Okay. No, what's a movie that that inspired you, ennobled you? What's a movie you watch and it's like, wow, it's just actually at its very, very best. Movies make us better people, better human beings. And, ultimately, if we're Christians, we believe that Jesus is the one that really makes us, you know, it's him that shines through. But even if you aren't a believer, it's like there's something about great stories inspire you to be a better person or inspire in some way. So is there some movie you watched that inspired you to be a better husband, a better son, a better friend, whatever.
This is a tricky one because are you familiar with anime?
Yeah.
Like not the Japanese style of mm-hmm. storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Back in college, I'm not going with the obvious one because the obvious one for me is Lord of the Rings. I'm a big Tolkien nerd. Those movies changed my life in an ultimate way.
Yes.
But they have done it in big swoops. This one changed it a little bit more in the micro level, which is going to really surprise some people who have any idea what we're talking about. And a lot of people here probably haven't seen what I'm getting ready to mention. There's an anime called Sword Art Online. It's about this.
Say that
guy,
again. Say it again.
Sword Art Online.
Got it. Okay, got it. Thank you.
And it's a anime about a dude who turns, it's what's called full dive technology. So you know how you VR goggles?
Yeah.
Imagine if those VR goggles are connected to your brain. And so when you move your arm, your character moves the arm in the game without moving your arm in real life. So you're basically in the game, fully conscious, but et cetera.
Okay.
Well, it's this new technology and people are trying it for the first time and it's amazing and everybody loves it. Well, it turns out the creator of the game It's set in a medieval RPG role-playing game style world. And I know I'm probably speaking Chinese to a bunch of people out there. No idea what we're talking about. Or Japanese, yeah. speaking Latin, speaking Greek. Mm-hmm. But you'll understand this. The creator of the world made it so if you die in the game, you die in real life. A microwave will fry your brain.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. So it adds realistic stakes and a really unique situation. So, and it's basically about this one main character's survival and him trying to not just survive, but as his girlfriend later puts on, he's not just surviving, he's living. And it is a beautiful, from what I remember, it is a beautiful example of sacrifice, of love. Like, one of my biggest problems with love stories in the modern age of television is, you see these characters, you see their falling in love story, but you don't see the rest. You don't see what it's like when they go home. You don't see the good, the bad, the arguments, the little conversations, the little everyday thing. And this anime was the first time I'd ever seen that on the big screen.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And as odd as it was, I don't know why, but this story... And for the record, for the people who have seen it or are interested in going seeing it, I am strictly talking the first arc, the first season, essentially, to where they're in the game and then they get out of the game. Because, spoilers, they get out of the game. I don't know why it awoke something into me of just the love of storytelling. Literally, that's what it was. And I knew, because I was in the theater program at the time when at my college that I was doing, and I went, I want to make movies. I want to tell good stories.
Wow.
And the best way to do that is to go in the movies. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to get into the film program. I got into the film program, met my wife, and I'm here now.
Wow.
So it affected me in a very literal way. And mm-hmm. I don't know, the way the Japanese tell storytelling, yes, there's a lot of garbage out there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much good, and they tell so many different stories in a very unique way. A common trope in Japanese animation is it's about men trying to be God.
Failing.
In the ultimate sense, because those characters generally are the villains, and it's genius. So
think about that. There's mine. You watched that. That was great. Great. Thank you. So you watched that. It inspired you about, it inspired you, and it did something in here for you, and it actually changed you in a way. I think that's the best. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the noble art of storytelling, is it changes us in some way, like it did for you. It helped you grapple with some issues there and to see love portrayed in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's look at a quick example before we go is, you look at, so in addition to good storytelling, there is this ennobling part, and this is, this is not something you just kind of wedge in there. It's something that comes from your heart as you're writing truth. This will come through. Star Wars, great example. First one, New Hope. Okay. Episode 4. So in that one, it's really a story of faith, of believing in having faith in something beyond yourself. And where use the Force, Luke, you know, that kind of thing where he has to, you know, turn off all the technology and use. So it's really a story about faith. And it could be something else, but that's something you can grab out of that can help you in your own life. You know, it's like, how am I trusting? Am I just trusting myself, or am I trusting in something bigger than myself? Okay.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings. Oh my goodness. There's so many good things came out of that. One great thing is friendship. What does friendship mean? The fellowship of the ring, just Frodo and Sam, the way that Sam is just that stalwart friend. You think about that in your relationship with your own friends, and you think about, am I like a Sam to my friend Frodo here? How am I, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. Yeah. Go ahead.
There, I saw on Facebook earlier this month, you're talking about inspiration and getting up to do things. There is a group of friends in Italy who decided to do a cross-country trek to dress up in character to throw a ring into Mount Vesuvius.
Okay. Yes.
I mean, that's inspiring to just have fun with your friends.
Like, oh my goodness.
It's a simple joy such as that. I mean, that sounds incredibly silly, but I love that. I absolutely adore that.
Well, you think, okay. And then we talked about, and we'll close out after this, but you think about that. That's a great example. Okay. As you're watching the movie and you think about what are the insurmountable things that I've got to face in my own life? You know, we talked about how the big screen applies to our own life kind of thing. As you think about the impossible odds that you've got to overcome evil, you know, how do you overcome evil? Frodo had to overcome evil in himself, the temptation to use the ring, you know, but what does he have to overcome to get that goal? And it's like, there's something about as you're going through life and you're going through your own conflicts, you think about, I want to be like Frodo, mm-hmm. or I want to be like Sam, or I want to be like Gandalf or whatever. It's something that's the beautiful purpose of storytelling, to ennoble, to inspire, to encourage people. And that takes writing to a whole other level. It stays with you.
I can actually add to that, because I'm sitting here thinking, it's like, man, I just went on for maybe 5-6 minutes talking about an anime that John's probably sitting there going cross-eyed and has no idea what I'm talking about. But at the same time, don't worry about the demographic, because it'll reach the right people. Because most of our audience right now, they're looking at me going, what are you talking about? That wasn't even a good anime. Because I know people who don't like it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is your story will reach the right people at the end of the day.
And you never know. Write a great story. Write truth. We talked about writing truth. And sometimes you never know where it'll bump in. They say luck is where preparation meets opportunity. You know.
Yeah.
And so write those stories. Write those stories that are in you. And don't worry about, they aren't perfect. They're not ennobling. They're not. Just write a great story. Write truth. And the ennobling part, it'll come. It'll come. And it comes out of just living life. Yeah. So. There we go.
Yeah, sorry. You asked, and I mean that story has a very special place in my heart.
No, it's good.
Super weird, and it's super niche, and it still is.
Yeah,
but
And
I've received so many when people have asked me, it's like, so what is your favorite story that's not Lord of the Rings? I tell them that, and they're like,
yeah,
what the frick are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry.
But everybody has their own thing, you know, their thing. And you know, it inspired you. It's good. It's, you know what I mean? It did something for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it eventually led you to your wife. I mean, hello, that's a great thing, right?
I might add it to you. Do you have a story? I might add this later on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a story that did that to you?
Star Wars did that for me. It inspired me to live life larger, live the adventure. Rather than just the mundane. I don't want to live life on Tatooine, you know?
Yeah.
And what does it take in me to live that? It takes faith to live in a larger world than myself. Faith calls me to that. And so that was, Star Wars did that for me. And I remember the second time I watched it when Luke is flying into the trench, and literally my hair stood on end. I've never felt that before. I feel my hair. It's like, it's so like, oh my, that's back before, you know, special effects were special effects. This is like, I mean, it was pretty bleak in the 70s. Oh, it was awful.
Well, in so many ways. Those were the special effects of special effects. That was creme de la creme back in the day.
It was just so amazing. So inspiring. And it called me to the adventure. And I never thought about that until just now. Is I've got this sense of adventure in my life that I don't want to live a mundane life. I don't want to live a self-centered, like, you know, life of things. I want to live life passionately for God, for people, you know, and love well and live larger than me, you know. And that part of that adventure came from Star Wars. I just enjoyed it so much. It called me to something bigger than myself.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Story Chat. If you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast.
If you have any questions for John or feedback on the show, please email us at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.